Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 6. We'll be reading verse 38. You'll find that on page 1081 in your Scofield Bible, 1081. Just this one verse, and then we'll turn to some other verses also in the book of Luke. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God, as we always do. And let's read that 38th verse together. Ready? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Turn now to the 12th chapter of Luke. We're reading verses 16 through 21. We'll read these verses responsively. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And let's pray. Father, we come tonight. We need thee. And for different reasons we need thee. We all need the message. We all need that which you've laid upon the heart of our preacher. And help us to be attentive to that. There are some here tonight who grieve. There are those who just have hungry hearts, perhaps some emptiness in their lives. All of us, to some degree or another, have a need. Thou art that great need filler, and we turn to Thee, our gracious and merciful God. Meet with us, please, and bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read for you one more time what you, I think you read a while ago. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall it be measured to you again. I call your attention to that little line that says, running over. I want to speak tonight. I almost made a Bible study out of this for Wednesday night, and I thought, no, I'll preach a sermon. And I really wrestle with the thing. It's a little bit of a Bible study kind of a sermon. And I promise you that tonight I'm going to give you something that is sane and as sane and sensible as you ever heard of a sermon in your life. I want to speak tonight on the subject, your first obligation is to your own. Your first obligation is to your own. I know it's a little tad warm tonight. Those of us who were living before air conditioning was invented, we think it's cold in here tonight. And I want you to listen carefully, and I want to speak to you. Your first obligation is to your own. Father, I want to be a help. That's all really I think that's about what I live for. I just want to be a help. And of all the people I want to help the most are the folks sitting in this room tonight. Our people, my people, thy people. I pray you help me to be a blessing to them tonight. But I can't be a blessing unless they listen. And so may their attention be pointed right this way as I try to deliver what I think you want me to say tonight. Amen. Romans 1 and verse 16 has a little phrase in it that is often quoted. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm ready to preach the gospel. He goes on to say, to the Jew first. A little statement, to the Jew first. Again, in Romans 2, 9, you have that same little phrase once again, to the Jew first. And then in Romans chapter 2 and verse 10, you have the same little phrase again, to the Jew first. Now, that phrase has been so often misunderstood, especially by our Jewish friends. I've seen Jewish missionaries and godly people, by the way. My good friend, Dr. Jacob Gartenhouse, one of the best Jewish missionaries I ever knew in my life, and my good friend, the close friend, but to heaven, he's the one who he had his gallbladder taken out. And he said, truly, thou art looking at the Jew in whom there is no gall. And those of you that know the Bible know what I'm talking about there. And then there's a great influx of Jewish people moving from New York City to Miami, Florida. And Dr. Gartenhouse says, the highway to between New York City and Miami is now called the Jewish Passover. And I thought that was funny, in spite of the fact that you thought it was funny or not. But Dr. Gartenhouse was my dear friend. But Dr. Gartenhouse was wrong on one thing. He said when the Bible says to the Jew first, that means we're supposed to get the gospel to the Jew first and then get all the other nations, but you're supposed to get the gospel to the Jewish people first. No, that's not what that means. It does not mean that here in Hammond we're supposed to get the gospel to the Jew first. The truth is, it meant that's where he was. The Apostle Paul was there, and he was saying, you people, you Jewish people, get the gospel of the Jew first. What he was saying was, you go first to your own. Dr. Rice used to say, start off witnessing to the one who shares the bed with you, and then witness to those who share the table with you, and then witness to those that share the neighborhood with you, and then witness to those who share the city with you, and then witness to those that share the country with you, and then witness to those who share the world with you. So listen, put your pens down now. Put your pens. No note-taking, please. Listen to me right this way. The top of your head is not very pretty, and I want to talk to you. It's not a lecture. It's not a classroom. It's a sermon. I want you to listen to me now. Put your pens up and listen to me. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, get your own first. He's saying, reach your own first. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, Jesus is giving another rendition of the Great Commission, and he says, beginning in Jerusalem. Now, that does not mean that somebody's going to be a soul winner, they're supposed to get an airplane and fly to Jerusalem and start there. No, it so happens that this commission was given in Jerusalem. So he said, beginning in Jerusalem. If the Great Commission had been given here, our Savior would have said, beginning in Hammond, and then in northwest Indiana, and then to Indiana, and then to the United States, and then the uttermost parts of the world. What he was saying in Romans 1:16, Romans 2:9, Romans 2:10, and likewise in Luke 24:47 was, get your own first, your own loved one first. I won my sister to Christ. I won his house, his father to Christ on his 70th birthday. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, oh, you sever the house, it's so hard to talk to your own about Jesus. Well, then do something hard. Don't let them go to hell. Get them saved. And it means your own first. In Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 6, there's a very famous little statement that says this. Says, but they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. What he's saying, by the way, that verse right there has been my traveling verse for 40 years. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I promised God years ago that my traveling would not cause me to give you less than I would give you if I never travel. I'm not going to go around the country trying to teach folks how to build churches and neglect my own ministry here. I'm not going to go around the country telling folks how to pastor and neglect my own ministry here. I'm saying you have been my first love, my first work, the biggest thing in my heart as far as my ministry is concerned. But the writer of the Song of Solomon said, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Maybe he said, I teach a Sunday school class, but haven't taught my own children the Bible at home. Maybe he says, I'm trying to teach my own children to write, but own children watch dirty television programs they shouldn't be watching while they're home. Maybe that's what he was saying. But what he really was saying is this, your own first. Your own first. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, that very famous verse 8, it says that we provide not for our own, or he to provide not for his own, and especially for his own household, he is worse than an infidel. What does that mean? That means you're, listen carefully now, that means you're more concerned about your family eating than you are anybody else in the world eating. That means your main and first obligation is to care for your family. The fellow who gives a lot of money to feed other people and doesn't take care of his own family is worse than an infidel. The college student who gives his tuition money and money he ought to be buying food for his family with to pay tuition of a child through City Baptist School. I'm not against that, but to your own first. You keep your own vineyard first. Now then the question comes, and don't leave me, the question comes, what about the rest of the others? I mean, the first group of others is my own family, the people in my own house. I'm to keep my own vineyard first. I'm to reach my own family first. I'm to provide for my own family first. Now, you're going to learn something. What about the rest of the others? If I'm to take care of my own others first, what about those outside my own house? All right. I've taken you to my text a while ago. It says, press down and running over. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. It said, give and it shall be given unto you. And it goes on, the end of that little line says, running over. But before that, it says, press down, shaken together, and running over. Now, that leads us to Psalm 23:5. My cup runneth over. Now, you're going to learn something if you listen carefully. I'm going to make some observations. Number one is, the cup represents the needs of my family. The cup. The cup represents my own family's needs. Then the running over represents my giving. So when I take care of my family, listen to me now, that's the cup. And when it runs over, then I'm to give. Now, several observations. One is, I am not to give what is in the cup. Let me say it again. I'm not to give what is in the cup. The cup represents the needs of my own family. That's for my family. That's for my rent, my house payment, my food, my necessity, the clothing of my family, the insurance for my family, the provision for my family's future, plus my tithe that my family is supposed to let God have, which is rightly his. So what he's saying is, I am not to give what's in the cup. Don't miss this now. I'm not to give what's in the cup. I've never one time in 40 years of you being your pastor, I've never asked you to mortgage your house to give an offering to church, nor will I ever, nor would I ever. I don't want you to mortgage your house because your house is for your family, and I want you to make your house payment and keep your house. I never have asked you to give what you can't afford to give, nor would I. I've asked you to give the tithe on occasion, some generous offering, but and by the way, we haven't had to do that. We're debt-free tonight. All of our property, our church property here, is all debt-free. Our building down here on City Baptist Grade School is debt-free. Our Hammond City Baptist High School is debt-free. All of our schools in Baptist City are debt-free. Our college is debt-free. Our cemetery is debt-free. Our mausoleum is debt-free. I'm simply saying that if you do not care for your own, you're worse than an infidel, the Bible says. I'm saying you're worse than Norman, the late Norman Vincent Peale. I'm saying you're worse than Bishop Pike. I'm saying you're worse than the late Nels F. S. Foray. I'm saying you're worse than Robert Shuler. You're worse than all the infidels. I'm saying you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your own. Some of you lazy men ought to get off your blessed assurance and provide for your family and take care of your family's needs. Let me tell you something. It's just as spiritual to provide for your family as it is to say amen when you come to church. It's just as spiritual to provide for your family as it is to go soul winning or sing a solo in church or be in the choir or teach a Sunday school class or run a bus route. Now, people say, Brother Howes, I'm unemployed right now. Well, I can take you to restaurant after restaurant all over this area that says now hiring.
What you'd rather do is sit there and watch the box that the government sends you a check every month and not make you a living. Listen, that ought to be, again, men ought to have some pride again. I'm talking about justifiable pride. I'm a man. I provide for my family. I take care of the needs of my family. There ought to be that revival in America of old-fashioned Matthew. Oh, Brother Howes, that's male chauvinist pig. When you sows don't like it, you can just say what you want to say about it. But I want to tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's time again that the American male became the American man again. It's time that we stood on our feet and provided for our own. So I'm saying I'm not to give what's in the cup. Now, wait a minute. Number two, I'm not to get a larger cup. I'm not to give what's in the cup, but I'm not to get a larger cup. I am warned in Luke chapter 12 and verse 18 about this man that said, I have more than my barns will take care of. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And he said, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. I'm not to build a bigger cup. I'm to take care of the needs of my family, and I'm not to increase the size of the cup or, if you please, the barn. Now, understand me. He does not criticize in Luke chapter 12 and verse 18. He does not criticize a fellow has his barns full. He doesn't say there's one single thing wrong with filling up your barn. What is that? That's taking care of the needs of your family. Nothing wrong with that. He does not save the fellow who you have your barn full, and that isn't right. No, sir. You're supposed to care for your needs of your family before you give anybody outside your family one thin dime. Are you listening to me? But he does not say that I'm to get a larger cup. Now, follow me carefully. I am not to give what is in the cup. Don't leave me. I'm also not to get a larger cup. Don't leave me. Number three, I am to give the overflow. I am to give the overflow. Instead of getting a larger cup, I'm not supposed to give what's in the cup. I'm to provide for my family. I've provided for Mrs. Hiles, and I'm not criticizing any woman here that works at all. If you have to work, I'm not talking about you at all, and I'm not preaching to you at all. But I am saying that I have provided for Ms. Hiles for 53 and a half years. And I've provided for her now. And though if I were to pass away tonight, she would not starve. She could not live an affluent life, but she could live an average middle-class life. And I'm saying it so happens that that's what I've done. And I promised God when I got married. But now I'm not supposed to get a bigger cup. Well, you say, hold it, preacher. Don't you live under better circumstances now than you did when you got married? Yes, I'll explain that in just a few minutes. So I said, number one, I am not to give what is in the cup. Number two, I am not to get a larger cup. Number three, I am to give the overflow. Number four, hear me carefully now. Then if I give the overflow, God will improve my needs. Let me explain it to you here. Here it is right here. Give, and it should be given you. Good measure. Press down. So what? When God fills the cup up again, he'll stomp on it and press it down. And that means that your cup will be a little bit more affluent cup than it was. If you give the overflow, God says, I'll fill your cup up, but he said, I'll do more than that. He said, I will press it down, shake it together, until it runs over. So what am I saying? I'm saying God will improve my needs. That means good measure, that's my needs. Press down, that's a more comfortable living than I had before. I'm not against somebody that gives the overflow to others, having a little nicer house next time. I'm not against that at all. I'm not against you maybe adding a room onto your house or buying some nice furniture if you give the overflow to others. Now, you don't get a bigger cup or another barn or a bigger barn. You take care of your family's needs. And then what overflows, are you still home tonight? What overflows, you get it. And God said, if you'll do that, then I'll fill your cup up again. And then I'll stomp it down real good and press it down. I'll shake it together, and you'll have more in the cup next time than you had before you overflowed the first time. Now, this is a continual process. I provide for my own. I give the overflow. I get more in the cup. I provide for my own. I give the overflow. I get more in the cup. I provide for my own. I give the overflow. And as long as I keep on giving, I get more in the cup. Listen, I'm saying tonight that your first responsibility is your own. If you have unsaved loved ones tonight and run a bus route, never go witness your unsaved loved ones, you're not obeying the Word of God. It says to the Jew first. It says beginning at Jerusalem. That means you start with your loved ones. There are folks tonight in this room, you go soul winning every week, but you got a dad unsaved. You haven't witnessed him in a long time. Now you go get that dad saved. And do all you can to get that dad saved. You got an unsaved mother, unsaved brother, unsaved sister. I'm saying our obligation is to win the whole world or get the gospel to the whole world, but our first obligation is to start at home. Now that means this. I don't get to give. I don't give to get. I give to get, to give, to get more. I give my overflow, and then there's more in the cup. Then it overflows, I give the overflow, and there's more in the cup. Now, there are two types of people here tonight I'm shooting at. I'm shooting at those of you that don't provide for your own, and some of you provide for others and let your own go without. I'm shooting also at those of you that don't give anything much except the tithe, and you don't give a tithe, that already belongs to God. And I'm saying tonight that those of you that are not sharing the overflow, my cup runneth over, he said. And Jesus said, I will give you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now the overflow is to be given to other people and to those that have need. Now listen carefully. If I give what is in the cup, I am worse than an infidel. If I give what is in the cup, I am worse than an infidel. The cup is for my family. But God said, if I find somebody who'll give the overflow, I will cause your cup to overflow. Are you listening to me tonight? I will cause your cup. Well, I think I'll preach on what's wrong with HBO for a while to get your attention back. I'm trying to say, some of you lazy rascals, you don't like it when I preach on you're worse than infidel if you don't provide for your own. Now, I'm saying tonight that God said, what's in the cup belongs to your family, and if you will do that and provide for them, I will overflow it. He said, if you overflow, don't get another cup, don't get another barn, don't get a bigger cup. He said, give it. And then he said, when you give it, he said, I'll put more in the cup that you have than you had before. And I think personally, a person that gives and gives and gives, I think God will allow him to get a little bit more. You know why Russell Anderson lives in a pretty nice home? Because Russell Anderson's given the overflow. You know why Jack DeCoster lives very modestly? You know why? God is blessing him with more and more because he gives the overflow. So, let me say it again. If I give what is in the cup, I'm worse than an infidel. If I fail to give her overflow, he will not refill my cup. Now, follow me carefully. We talked about money so far. The same is true in other areas. God gives me joy. I think, you know, I enjoy life. Hey, I got a heart problem, but I'm still having a big time. I'm cutting up with it. Last night, the deacons were talking about a few things, and they used some terms. Somebody said tonight, I said, all over the house, have a heart. I said, well, I have one. It's not working real well, but I have one. I enjoy life. And if I die tomorrow, I'm going to enjoy today. If I die tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to enjoy tomorrow morning. You know why? I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Now then, I am not just to have that joy. I am to overflow and give that joy to other people. And as I overflow, God gives me joy. And as I overflow and I try to spread that joy to you and to others, then God says, if I give him more joy, he'll spread that joy. So God gives me more joy than I had before because my overflow is given to somebody else. So God gives me joy, not just a cup full of joy, but pressed down, shaken together, and it runs over again. And when it runs over, I give it to you. And then God gives me shaken together and pressed down more. And it runs over, I give it to you. Now I'm trying to say, if you've got joy in your heart, in God's dear name, go out and make somebody else have joy. Make somebody else happy. I have a little motto. I don't care whose path I cross. I want them to feel better after I cross it than when I came. I don't care if I'm going, Ms. Howes will tell you, I embarrass her all over the area going to a store. We're at a restaurant eating out the other day, and the lady came and gave us our check. And I said, ma'am, we've had a good time so far. This has been a good evening, and you're ruining it. Well, she said, I don't want it. Well, I don't want to ruin it. Good. I said, we struck a deal. Then you don't ruin it. And she laughed, of course. And I looked at the bill. I cried. My joy was no longer pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But I want every waitress or waiter that waits on me to feel better when I leave. I want everybody there. If I walk into a department store, I want folks to feel better when I leave. I walked into the Zanster's out yonder where I was buying somebody a suit the other day. And I walked in, and I said, is it true that you and Michael Jordan are the highest paid folks in America? He thought it was funnier than you did. But if my wife and I, if we go somewhere and shop, I want that clerk to feel better when we left. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a heart-sick old world, and we need some joy spreaders. And one reason why you don't have any joy is you don't have it running over. Hey, when you cut this bowl, let it run over. Let somebody else have it. Same thing is true about love. Give the overflow. People often ask me, Brother Hiles, I'd like to love like you do. How can I get the love that you have? How you get more. When you get your cup full, hey, love your family. Love your wife. That's in the cup. Love your wife. Love your family. And love your neighbors. And but love your own. Love your husband. Love your mother. Love your father. It's in the cup. And then let the cup run over. And then love the your neighbor. Love your enemy. And spread love. I want to spread love everywhere I go. I want people to know the love of Christ. But here's your problem. All you want is to be loved. Well, I don't think you love me anymore. You can't make her love you either. Here's what you can do. You can have your cup filled. You can love your wife. Love your husband. Love your children. Love your father. Love your mother. And then when the cup runs over, You love others. And then God says, I'll fill your cup of love again, but I'll press it down, shake it together, press it down, it'll run over again, and you give love to somebody else. The same is true concerning loyalty, strength, comfort. It's true concerning truth, knowledge. Let me illustrate. Preachers all over the world use my tapes and preach my sermons. Some preacher, I won't tell you who he is because I don't want to tell you who he is. I don't want to embarrass him. Some preacher made a study of my tapes. I'm not sure this is accurate, but he said it's pretty accurate. He said over 1,000 preachers in America preach at least one of my sermons every week. Now, I get my own sermons. You can probably tell. They're homemade. I get my own sermons. But my tapes go around the world. We make 2 tapes every week. One goes around the world this way. One goes around the world this way. But my tapes, we send out, I don't have any tape. We send out probably 250,000 tapes or more every year of my sermons. Every year. And preachers preach I was up in Alaska. I got off the airplane at the airport in Anchorage, and the young pastor where I was preaching met me, and he said, before you preach tonight, I want you to know for 3 years I preached every one of your sermons. I get your sermons almost 2 weeks after you preach them, and then I preach them the next Sunday. He said, please don't preach anything that you preached in the last 3 years. I preached 2 sermons while I was there. It was both of them I preached the last Sunday, and he hadn't gotten the tape yet. I said, study, you rascal, study, you rascal, study. Dr. Ray Batem, who used to pastor the Central Baptist Church in Pomona, California. That time is the largest Baptist church in all of California. He got my tapes. He preached my sermons. He told me that. Preached my sermons. And this makes Miss Howells mad. She doesn't like it. She let them study for themselves. But as she uses my Sunday school outline to teach her lesson the next Sunday morning. I don't think I spread any love then. Dr. John Rice, when he was editor of the Sword of the Lord, he had a sermon contest. I entered the contest. Dr. Rice called Ray Vedema and said, "But Dr. Vedema, would you enter the contest?" He said, "Okay." But Ray got busy and did not send in a sermon. Just a few hours or days before the sermon contest was over, Dr. Rice called him again and said, "Dr. Vedema, I want you to enter a sermon. I want all the preachers I can get." He called many preachers. And Brother Vedema simply went to his secretary and said, "Look, I don't have time to dictate a sermon. Just pick out the best one I've preached in the last few weeks, in your opinion, type it up, send it to the source." It was word for word my sermon, "A Covenant with Your Eyes." Fine. I worked hard to get that sermon. I read two of Spurgeon's books to find it. But I, by the way, she typed it up. He never saw it. He won first place. I came in ninth. You say, "Preacher, does that upset you?" Not at all. Mike Haynes. Mike Haynes uses my Sunday school lessons and puts his name on them. He edits them carefully, except one week he's out of town, didn't edit it. And his Sunday school lesson said, "When I was a paratrooper in World War II." I bet if Mike was alive in World War II. My sermon, "Amnon Had a Friend," I overhauled it and preached it the other night. I preached it years ago here, and a guy got my tape in Decatur, Georgia, the youth director in Decatur, Georgia. I was preaching down there for Dr. Curtis Hudson when he was there, and I preached that sermon that I preached Sunday, "Amnon Had a Friend." The young people were there in the high school that morning, and the young people got around me after service and called me every name under the sun. And I said, "Why?" But this is about 2 or 3 weeks after I preached it here. And they said, "You stole our youth director's sermon." You see, he got my tapes. He got my sermon, "Amnon Had a Friend," and preached it on Tuesday before I got there the next Monday to his high school. I couldn't convince him. I didn't even try. I just told the kids, "I get his tapes." I was in Wichita, Kansas. Scouts honor, cross my heart, and hope for the coast and dies. This is true. I was in Wichita, Kansas. Monday night, Dr. Rice and I were together. I preached my sermon. I've forgotten the title of it. I forgot what it was. And the people started snickering, punching each other. That night before, on Sunday night, the pastor had preached that sermon. He got on my tape and preached that sermon. And Monday night, I preached it. The pastor almost died. When I got through preaching it, at the end of the service, he got up and shook his head, and he said, "Folks, finally you got to hear the original." Now, you say, "Brother House, does that bother you?" Now, any laziness bothers me, but it does not bother me when the truth that I preach here is taken by 1,000 men and preached all over the world. I'm not interested in being original. I'm interested in getting truth out. Now, follow me carefully. If I take my overflow of truth, and if I give it to others and share it, what does God do for me? He gives me more truth. He takes my cup of truth, and he shakes it down, and shakes it together, and presses it down, and it runs over again. And as God said, as long as you'll give the overflow to others, I'll keep filling up the cup. If that cup is joy, if that cup is money, if that cup is love, if that cup is loyalty, if that cup is comfort, whatever it is, God said, as long as you won't hoard it, and you'll keep it, the overflow, and let somebody else have it, and give it to others, God said, not only will I fill your cup again, but I'll stomp it down, I'll press it down, I'll shake it together, and your cup will hold more every time you give the overflow. So as I seek more avenues of joy and do not let it overflow, it displeases God. If I give the overflow, he pours in more joy. If I give the overflow of love, he pours in more love. I don't mean just how much love I had before, but if I get me another cup or build a bigger barn, then I'm being selfish. But if I keep the same cup and provide for my own, that's one reason why, I'll tell you, I preach over 65,000 sermons. I preach all across America. But I promise you this, I give you the fresh stuff. I've not preached a sermon tonight, ever. Ever. It's brand new. I've not read it anywhere. It's brand new. Now, I never prepare a sermon for somewhere else. I get one that I've prepared here and warm it over, change it a little bit, apply it to the folks around the country, and preach. Why? Because I am not going to give you leftovers and give them. I know preachers, you let them preach to some big convention somewhere, and they'll study for 5 months, getting ready for that. I don't, boy. I get one the night before, and it's the same one I preached here before. Why? Because your own first. Your own first. And then he causes my cup to overflow with joy, with love, with money, with truth, with comfort, whatever it is. It overflows. And then I give that which overflows. I get more than I had before. Look, we've grown old together here, folks. Many of us have. Brother Colston, how old are you now? 64 and going on 80. 64. And you came here, how old were you? 29 when he came here. And we've grown old together. He's my good friend. We've grown old together. Now, Brother Colston drives a nicer car than he drove in. When you came here, you lived in a little place down here on Condit. Before that, in the trailer court. Was it Condit? A little shack almost down on Condit. Now they live in a bigger shack. God has blessed them. But, I mean, Brother Colston, they moved out to a little place on Columbia. A little, but I guess two bedrooms, a small little house, maybe. Don't ruin my sermon. Agree with me, whatever I say. Now he lives in a lovely home out on Euclid in Munster. What? But Brother Colston never has come to me and said, I want to build a bigger barn. He wears nicer clothes than he wore then. Mrs. Colston wears nicer clothes. And larger ones. I'm talking about Brother Colston. I said that. Not Mrs. Colston. Talking about Brother Colston. Now, you misunderstand me, folks. I'm letting my sarcasm cup overflow. So God will give me more sarcasm. The Lord knows that Johnny Colston has never wanted to build a bigger barn. In fact, he's never wanted to do much work of any kind. But he's never wanted to build a bigger barn. Never has. He and Elaine Colston have lived modestly, comfortably, modestly, and they've given far more than you'll ever know. They've given. Now, what's happened? Step by step. They gave the overflow when they lived in the trailer. And God said, I'm going to give you a little place down here on Condit. And the cup overflowed and they gave more and God didn't get a new cup. God pressed it down and God gave them a better place out on Columbia. And then they kept on and gave the overflow, kept the same cup, didn't build a new barn, didn't get another cup, didn't enlarge the cup they had. But God kept on pressing it down and shaking together until it runs over. Ask a question. How much love have you had run over lately? How much joy have you had run over lately? What have you done with the excess joy? Huh? What have you done with the financial blessings that God has given you? I'm saying the whole truth tonight is this. You are supposed to provide. Hey, you know you're supposed to provide. Listen to me now. You know you're supposed to provide joy for your own family first? Some of you men, if you treated your wife with the same courtesy you treat the neighbor's wife, she'd faint. Maybe she'd drop dead. You could marry the neighbor's wife. I don't know. I'm saying you ought to be your kindest at home. You ought to be your most loving at home. You ought to have the most courtesy at home. You ought to have the most joy at home. You ought to have more fun inside the walls of your house than you have anywhere else in the whole world. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, that woman right there is a character. She's a card. She's the funniest thing you ever saw in your life. You know what she does. I told you, when she was sick in the hospital, had surgery, couldn't come to church for 6 weeks. I called her between Sunday school and preaching. I called her between 6 o'clock hour and preaching. And I got to call her the backslider. I called one morning between Sunday school and preaching, and I said, is this where the backslider is? She said, yes, but he isn't home right now. I promise you that we laugh more inside the walls of our dwelling place than we laugh outside those walls. It's time some of you folks decided to have some love at home and some manners at home. Some of you guys run around the house in your shorts and undershirt with your navel sticking out. You wouldn't dare do that on the street. You criticize somebody. Well, you ought to dress with the same dignity before your own that you dress outside your own house. Your own first. Your own first. Whether it's money, joy, love, kindness, the cup is for your family. And then when it overflows, it's for somebody else. And then once you give the overflow, God says, you didn't ask for a bigger cup. I'm going to make your cup whole more than it did before. Would you bow your heads, please? Somewhere along the trail tonight, did your phone ring? Did your doorbell ring tonight? Let me ask you a question. No one is leaving, of course. Let me ask you a question. Do you give more joy at home than you do outside the home? Or are you giving people outside the home what's in the cup? How about love? How about expressions of love? How about kindness? Happiness? And joy?